behind, right behind you can. But certainly at the side, you shouldn't walk in front of somebody who's davening as well.
We're talking about Unishmanyasai, yes. It's also an ashar for people davening Shmanyasai. If you're going to daven along Shmanyasai, make sure you don't stand in a place where people want to walk past.
Mm.
That's very important. Don't stand in a place like a gangway or something. Although, wherever the Ashub, I remember hearing once, was make if someone's standing in a public thoroughfare, you can just walk right past him. You're standing in the wrong place. It's his fault. He's a Bobish or Sarabim. He's making it difficult for people. You're not Mukhiya to be careful for that. Someone's standing by the door and you can't get in and out of the door, then you can just walk in front of him. But if you're damning the Shemaim, you should really damn against the wall or something like that, or be careful.
You know, at the Kotel, it's very difficult. directly
behind you is a problem, but if it's at the side, you can go off to the side a little bit. If it's directly behind you, you're
when
a
you're
problem.
When you're leaving the Kotel, you're going to walk past another piece of other people davening.
Yeah, that's hard. What do you do there? It's very hard at the Kotel.
It's interesting, a lot of collectors, I mean, they're walking throughout davening all the time, so I wonder whether there's just a pre-existing heter in a way in those situations. So. I mean, not a heter, but there's an understanding.
Is there any time that you're not like if people come to you that you don't have to give them, like during davening?
You don't have to give them at any time. You're not mechuyav to give them. You're mechuyav to give every time. You're in the middle of davening, you're oisik b'mitzvah, not the middle of mitzvah. I think if you're oisik with a mitzvah and it disturbs you, then don't give them at all. I daven in the mirror in the mornings, and people come around all the time. So I stop where I am and I give. But if it's a Kriya Shema or something,
I line it up on the table.
Yeah, that's the best thing. But Shlomo Zalman used to do that. He used to point to the coin on the shtender. That's what he used to do. He used to point to the. He used to point to the coin.
Calling
Al Ganavim. Everyone does that. No, you're in front of him or something like that. You're not mechuyav to give every time. If it's disturbing you in a davening, then you don't have to give them. If it doesn't disturb you, then why not? I find it's not such a problem. I stop where I am, I look where I'm up to, that's all. But if it disturbs you, then don't do it.
If somebody walks into the shul, especially during Shmoneh Esrei, but any time that you see workers in Shema, I don't mean particularly down there, either in Shema or Shmoneh Esrei, somebody comes in collecting, they start shaking the coins so loudly it's disturbing.
Yes.
Am I allowed to say, I'm sorry, you have no respect for the Kehillah?
I would just leave him be. I would leave him be.
Actually, I don't say anything. I don't give because
I don't give.
But in my head, you have no respect for the Kehillah. I'm not giving you.
I agree with you, but I would leave him be. I just, whenever those things happen to me.
Because you're not going to change them.
You're not going to change them. And also, you're not in that position, Baruch Hashem. Right. That's also something to think about as well. You know, it's a misken, it's a never. The person has to go around collecting all the time. It's a desire for him. So leave them be. If you want to give them something, give them half a shekel or a shekel or something like that. It makes them happy. But I wouldn't say anything at all. They make a noise, so try and
live above it. I don't say anything. To myself, I say. That's
what can you do?
I'm not giving it.
It's a miscan. It's a miscan. Someone's
it could also be second nature. They're doing it all day, every day, and they just, they're not even thinking.
They don't think what they're doing.
Right, home and never see this.
The hardest problem is when they come and tell you they're hot souls when you're davening, you know, and collect apples as colour, and please give money and everything and whatever. Then it's hard. Just have to wait until they finish their drashas. I think if it disturbs you, don't give them. I know people don't give during davening because they find it disturbs their davening. If it doesn't disturb you and you can put it on the shtender in front of you or something, then you can do it that way. That's okay. Some people leave a little basin with some coins inside and they take it from there. People do different things. If it disturbs you, then I don't think you have to do it. Okay. Membeis. Also, laba b'tzad ha'mispala b'tzadin shalafana. Below lifsa gimel p'sios. Don't take 3 steps back if you're going into his area. Without zedilam over poiskim. So that's what I'm explaining to you. But if it's directly behind you, then you're in problems. But if you can go off to the side, then there is a heter. And behind you, I saw the Mishnah Berurah's make behind. It's only from the side and not the front. Gam b'mincha b'mayriv chayovin b'tfila b'tzibur. You should daven mincha and mayriv also with the tzibur. And mincha mayriv chashuvin yoyseh mishachris. I'm not sure where Reb Chaim comes from here on this. Why is mincha and mayriv more chashuv than shachris? It's because Eliyahu Hanavi was answered at mincha time. I think that's the point. And if Eliyahu Hanavi would have davened at shachris, it wouldn't have been, shachris would have been more important. I think I saw once a mefarshim on that they say that the Nevi'e Habal were davening from the morning until midday because they claimed that the sun was the Elil. they daven to the sun, they pray to the sun. So Davka, he waited until the sun was halfway through. And that mincha time is the time of kshofin. So he wanted to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers you even at that time as well. So he Davka waited until mincha. It means actually the beginning of mincha time, not to delay it, because the person can get caught out. You get busy with different things during the day. But according to Reb Chaim, he says it's more important than shachris. But if you look at the Gemara there, the Gemara, I think, says there, Maariv is always also important, and Shachris is also important as well. But I'm not sure what
so, he there's no inyan of Maariv being Rishus. It's no...
Not nowadays. Nowadays, we it's Asachiyah by us. We do that.
No, I know
that's
that.
The famous Gemara, because the Gemara of Shem Bayochai, and of Gamliel, and of Yeshua, you know, the Gemara in Bokas, that they took away, they asked if Maariv is Rishus or not, the Gemara in Bob Metzian. The Gemara brings out a Maisa that Reb Shimon Gamliel asked the Shailat, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai asked Reb Gamliel if Maariv is Rishus or not. So he said, Maariv is a Chayva. And then Reb Yeshua turned around and said it was Rishus, but Reb Gamliel was the Nossi. Because of that, Reb Gamliel called Reb Yeshua in front of him. He was the Nossi. He said, did you turn around and say that Maariv is Rishus? He said, someone said it, but I don't know who it was. He denied that he actually said it because he was embarrassed in front of the Nossi. In the end, Rabbi Gamliel told him that he should dafka daven Maariv, and he put a chayim on him if he didn't daven at the time. Didn't daven Maariv. Because of that, Rabbi Loza ben Azariah became the Nossi. They took away Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, 17-year-old, took over from Rabbi Gamliel. Because Rabbi Gamliel realized that he was wrong. He had given a punishment to, he had summoned Rabbi Yeshua, like the Gemara, I think, with Yom Kippur, according to his cheshbon, that Yom Kippur should come out on a different day, so he ordered him to come to him with his makla to walk towards him on Yom Kippur. He put him on the spot. And in the end, they removed Rabbi Gamliel from being a Nasi. Rabbi Loza ben Azariah took over being a Nasi. And Rabbi Gamliel went over to Rabbi Yeshua to apologize to him, and he saw in his house that he was a complete Oni. He was a blacksmith, Rabbi Yeshua, and he said, your house is so dirty. And he realized he had done the wrong thing, and he apologized to him. And after that, they made a takana that Rabbi Elazar ben Ayah should darshan once a month, and Rabbi Gamliel should darshan three times a month. That's the end of the Gemara then, Tfilas HaShachar. It was the famous Maizu, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the one who asked the question. But the Maisa, Mincha is very important also because the person is in the middle of his day. And to break off in the middle of your day to go and daven Mincha is hard. You know, in the middle of working, doing things, especially if you're in an office, in downtown somewhere in an office. I remember when I was a lawyer in London, people used to travel like the other side of London just to go and daven with a Mincha somewhere. You have different parts of the people don't daven. And in the middle of the day to drop everything is a tremendous avodah, you know. So the chashivas of it. And Eliyahu HaNavi was answered at mincha time. That was the school as well. Since he was answered. So if you have a certain bakosha to daven specifically at mincha time, that's the of the bracha, of the tefillah. Now he ends at the end. The mincha tzorich loyma. This is in some siddurim, I don't know, not every siddur has it. Before you start Ashrei, Moedani lefanach Hashem elokai belokai avoisai, Kishem zeichasani lirois bechama, Bamizrach karzokisi, lirois abim, like I was privileged to see the sun in the east, so I should see the sun in the west. And at Maariv you say, Yihotzen elokai belokai avoisai, Kishem, like I was able to see Shehayisi, and I was in darkness, and you brought me to light. Also take me out of darkness, from Maariv to see the light. And Shabbos also, there's a tefillah as well. You should say these things, Rabbi Yisrael. It's important. I think the Chofetz Chaim brings them down as halachas. Before Ashrei to say for Mincha, for Maariv as well, for Shabbos as well. You'll see it in the Siddur. So say the Yivot sign before you daven. Kadimu v'chashichu lebei kenishta. Come early and stay late to shul. Ki heichet atul cheichayu. So that your life will be extended. The kadimu hainu lavolif mea tefillah. Come early means come before davening starts. Don't leave davening until after tefillah. Person is long life. If you stay, come early and stay late in shul. Zinya also of not leaving somebody alone in a shul. If you see someone who's davening there, wait in the shul for him until he leaves. Not leaving someone alone like that. I think it comes from the takan. They used to daven in the field. Mm-hmm. So it was dangerous to leave someone alone. But in our times as well, if someone is in shul by himself, to wait until he's finished davening. So he shouldn't be alone by himself in shul if you're the last one out.
Does that only apply Maariv or any time?
I think any time. come early to shul and stay late.
Assuming they came on time. Maybe yes, if they came late.
If he came late and they're dabbling up, and they came, yes, he came late. Why have to wait for him? Right? Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. Now, should we go back to the safer now?
Yeah.
We're going to have a problem. So shall I read out and we'll take it from here?
Yep.
Yes?
Yep,
please. So we mentioned previously about taking your time and set davening with care. And at the end of this page, page Yud, he says here, Kol ze eina ela le'in shel hel. Everything depends on the habit, on what you're used to. She'ein ha'koishi ela b'tchil. It's always hard to daven well at the beginning, but once you get into the system, that you're careful with the words, and you plan yourself out, and you make a seder for your davening. After you take your time, davening becomes easier for you. No question about it. If you take your time of Sukkah Dezimra, you take your time, you give yourself 15 minutes. At the beginning it's hard, but then when you get into it, you find you enjoy the davening because you're giving it hashivas. And you don't find any difficulty. It's so true as well. It doesn't become hard. It's hard at the beginning when you're trying to make davening important. But if it's always, you take your time over it, then you find you get into it easier. You can spend years in difficulty in tefillah that you never daven properly, and you always feel upset and you don't feel accomplished with the davening. But you could remove all problems if you thought a little bit about what you're doing. You will know, and if you just consider a bit the actions that you're doing and plan yourself out, you'll see you'll be able to spend more time and get more out of davening. But it means giving it time. Patience, I think, is the main thing. You need certain koichos to get into the system. He brings it a footnote down here, Rabbi Isai. If you have different things in your house, for example, you have to take the children to school in the morning, or you're busy with a home, and you don't have the right time for davening, and if you would plan it out a little bit better, he said, many things which disturb you in davening, you can organize them and sort them out, the problems. For example, you're davening in a place where it disturbs you, so move your place in davening. If you find that you haven't got enough air, so daven in a place where there's more air. No, remove the problem so davening becomes easier. It's not, you just have to work with yourself. See the problems and try and organize. If that minyan is too fast for you, so go to a little later minyan or something, so that you make a success of it. Things you can certainly arrange and organize at night to make sure that you get to davening on time. If you organize yourself properly during the day, you give yourself time, make sure you're able to daven properly. I know many people get very thirsty in davening, so take a drink before davening. Make sure you get up early enough to have a drink, a cup of coffee or something, or water before davening. You can't eat anything, but at least have a coffee and it gives you koyach. The ein kan amokem laharich beprotim, ach dober boruhu, shemafriyim rabim kayamim mechoset. Many problems happen in davening because you never thought about it. You never considered it. You came on time, and you came a bit early and put your tefillin in earlier, gave yourself more time. Or you looked where your seat is, make sure you're comfortable where you are. Then everything becomes, you can sort everything out. With a little bit of will and a bit of forethought, you can plan your davening so that you become successful. If your wife helps you and she sees how important davening is to you, she will make every effort to make you be able to go to shul and daven properly. A lot great depends on the example you set. If your wife sees that davening is so important for you, she will help you. She sees how important it is for you. She will organize her day better. If you organize yourself and discuss your problems, maybe with your wife or something, make sure you get to a better minyan, give yourself an opportunity, you'll find you have more sipuk out of the davening. That's the end of this chapter. Now the next one discusses b'inyan roim hamalas. He discusses the following point. I'm going to read it out to you, Rabbi Isai, and then we'll explain it. Davening is something which is very elevated and very spiritually enlightening, a very high avodah. A man is the crown of co-creation. He stands here and he talks to and prays to his creator. And his tefillah arrives all the way up to Shamayim. You know the medrash about Chana. Chana stood there and whispered the words, and her words went all the way up to Shamayim to kiss Erkabel. So the medrash says there, from where you stand until Shamayim is 500 years away. How can you just whisper the words? And you don't say the words aloud. Shemayin Esrei, you whisper the words. How can you just whisper the words and the words go all the way to Shemayin? It's an incredible thing. That was the whole late sonnet which Elio had with Nevi Habano. He said, if he doesn't hear you, shout louder. Call louder and he'll hear you.
Maybe he's sleeping.
Maybe he's sleeping. It's beautiful rhetoric. That's it's a beautiful, beautiful expression. Maybe he's gone for a walk. Maybe he's sleeping or something. Shout louder. Oh, but there's the Maisa, you whisper the words and he hears you. It's an incredible chizuk by Chana. What is inside the words? What does it mean, Beruma Shalom? What does it mean that prayer is Beruma Shalom? Madua Yesh Kokach Roimamus Pamesh Onu Aimdim Lifnakodish Baruch, or Mahalim Lefonov, or Mavakshim Mimeno Estoche. Why is it such an important, significant act to stand in front of Hashem and tell Him of your needs? Hello, how the mitzvahs nitne lanu, the kulam chashuvos. All mitzvahs are important. What makes tefillah so important? Umam yucheles ba'avodas ha'tefillah. And I said that I will try to explain it to you. You must understand the need to daven every single day. Hello, kavachit palanu. We davened yesterday and we davened the day before. Why is it every single day you have to daven? Why do you have to daven every single day again? I feel gimel pam, but why daven three times a day? What's necessary for? I remember when I was about 17 years old, I had a discussion with a girl, a friend of my parents, and she said, you have to daven every single day. You daven when you want to pray. So I said, I had a long discussion with her. She said, you daven when you want to pray. You don't daven every single day. I said, yeah, sometimes you daven. She said, no, when you're in the mood. When you're in the mood. But who said you're in the mood? When you don't get in the mood, what happens then? I had a long discussion with her. She said to me, no, you daven when you feel like talking to God, not when you want to. I don't know where she is nowadays. I don't think she ever got married. We have to remind ourselves three times a day. We don't have anything in the world. And that you have to remind yourself. Every single thing, your health, your wealth, your happiness, whatever you need, what the food that you eat, the health, everything that you need in life is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you have to really embed that thought in your mindset. You have to have mind. Everything I have, I need from Borei Olam. Everything. My happiness, my shalom bayis, my panosa, everything I need. And HaKadosh looks after us every single day. Since we need him so much, and however much a person is able to lift himself up and realize this point, that the man becomes more meshubach and he becomes more what's in front of Hashem. The more you can live with the concept of how much you're dependent on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you grow as a person, you grow closer to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the tachlis ha'olam. Ba'atem hadveikim b'Hashem elokeichem, chayim kulachem. Umos ha'olam are not close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we are, and therefore the closer you get, and you remind yourself, especially in brachos and psukei dezimah, how close you are, how much you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much you thank Him for everything you have, that's why you daven three times a day, and that's why it's Beruma Shel Olam. Your whole life depends on it. You don't show that by wearing tzitzis. You don't do that by putting a mezuzah on your door. You don't do that by making kiddush on Shabbos. But tefillah three times a day, like, embeds that thought in your mind that I'm completely dependent on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's the koyach why tefillah is so important. Every day we receive whatever we need through koyach of our tefillah. And that's why you need to daven three times a day. Not less than three times a day. Three times a day to remind yourself of that. And that's why this sefer is written. And we're going to explain every single aspect. The rest of the sefer is going to explain every aspect of the tefillah. But this particular section which she's talking about here, he's going to talk about the importance of davening itself. Meaning, other sections, why do you say Ashrei, why do you say Kriya Shema, all those, that's later in the Sefer. But now I'm going to talk about, he says, the actual Avoda itself. Even though the world seems to you in front of you like a creator and a finished product, and it keeps on going on day after day for thousands of years, it's not true. Every day Every day he controls everything. He's in support and he's supervising and maintaining everything that is. Every detail in your life is on that basis. You know, recognize that everything is from him. Every day is a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every day is a new creation, and that we forget. We ask Hashem for all that we need. That everything should be achieved and accomplished. You should be able to live properly, you should be able to eat properly. All the things that you need are all included in tefillah. And every day is a new creation. And the whole world exists because of that. Think about it, how much you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much you have to thank him, how much you appreciate him, and request whatever you need. A person has different needs, different situations in life. Always you're talking to him and also asking him and recognizing the source. The whole of the world needs to be renewed every single day. And all the influences that we receive every day, Chaim, Brios, Parnosa, Shalom, Ufua, Yeshua, that we can perform what we need to tapkidim, and the world needs to reach its completion every single minute. Every day according to its needs. You see that, especially nowadays, what's going on in the situation in Klal Yisrael, the tzoros around the world, everything that's happening. You see the need to recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Chayalim, the hostages, the Amonas, the Yisayimim, how much we need the protection of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the security by him. And how does it all come down? All through tefillah. Tefillah creates all the success that we need in the world. Kishas ha-tefillah, he's a man, shall kesher, b'chibu im Hashem Yisbar. Time of davening is a time when you connect with the Creator. Hu eis doidim, a time of great affection. This allays to take delight in the love that he has towards us. He gives us all that we need. And it's only through tefillah that all these influence, all these welfare and benevolence and security, protection that we need, all comes about through tefillah. And without tefillah, they don't come down. I say you just carry on, but you ignore. You ignore accreditation. Imagine what a crime that is. You're given gifts all the time, and you don't recognize it. That's how important it is to daven. And all the different storm HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, aging and all the different shidduchim and people growing up, all the different stages of life which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. But how do they all get their welfare and their maintenance? All through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come closer to him, and the more you come closer to him, so he gives hashpah to you. So he answers back and gives you what you need. And if you don't awaken him, then he won't carry them on. He won't carry them on. What does it mean? Mi at siyata dishmaya. Person is not successful. Person is not successful. You didn't connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ba'ken tzorech tefilos chadoshos b'chol yom. Therefore, every day, lehamshich hanhoga v'hashpah shel yom ahu, that all the influences and what you need every day should continue. Nimsa shekol yom v'yom onu po'alim b'tefilaseinu p'ulois she'inyonim. Every day we keep on saying things all the time, and it continually moves on. The world carries on in that way. What time is it, actually?
It's 9:10.
We'll stop here. Yeah. Okay. We'll carry on next week, Rabbi, say this.
I heard an interesting...
I was wondering, like, so if someone doesn't daven, like an atheist, but he still gets what he needs.
He still gets what he
needs. Is he getting it from other people's davening?
Didn't work?
Maybe he is, but he's all given a free...